Okay, friends, I'll tell a lot from my life as we go, but I want to speak a message tonight that I call an introduction to the Holy Spirit. Can we do that together? And even if you've heard a lot about Holy Spirit, I think there will be some nuggets in there for you. And for you that have not had a lot of teaching, I think this is going to be very fundamental, all right? And I will continue with that tomorrow night and then the other nights, and I will introduce it step by step, okay? So, you all know that we believe in a Trinity God, right? It starts in Genesis, where he says, let us make man in our image. And we understand that there is a Trinity God speaking, and God the Creator speaks the Word, Jesus Christ, into existing things. And we know that he is what creates the rock, because he is the rock, right? He is what turns the liquid into that, you know, because he is the water. So there's a radical pantheism, all right? Radical. He is the Word. Jesus is the creative Word that comes out of the Father's mouth. And the Holy Spirit is the creative power. We could take many, many pictures for the Trinity. It's hard to understand it. But we find it again and again. The Trinity is described in the first chapter of Hebrews. And in John's Gospel. Particular in John's Gospel. And we can take many different pictures. The pictures that have been used is, you know, water can have three different forms, right? Ice, steam, and liquid. And we know it's the same, but it has different appearances and forms. And God, the Creator, showed up on earth and showed us who he was through Jesus Christ, his Son. And then when Jesus had done what he came to do, to redeem us and forgive us and save us and restore us, he was the second Adam, isn't it? So what the first Adam blew, he came to fix. And then he sends us the Holy Spirit to replace him and be with us all the time. And we become temples of the Holy Spirit. To introduce the Holy Spirit and who he is and who this third person of the Trinity is, I'd like to take seven pictures tonight of the Holy Spirit. And I will teach you just like I teach my own people. Can I do that? Just like I do back home. So, yeah, here we go. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. We have the first picture in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 10, where it says that when Jesus was being baptized and he came out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit was descending on him like a dove. And we know the Holy Spirit is not a dove, but we know this is one of the first pictures that appears in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit. And we can learn something from the picture of the dove, because it says something about the character of this third person in the Trinity. This gentle, pure, clean animal that easy lifts, right? That you can scare away. And I always say that when we meet the dove and when we start to get introduced to the Holy Spirit, now I will start telling my own story. I never forget when I had my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. But I had no idea it was the Holy Spirit. Mama asked me to go out of this, place of doing drugs in the middle of the ghetto. I don't know what you call such a place. Just a crack house, probably you would say here, huh? I was sent out in the morning around 10 or 11 to buy two packages of cigarettes. And I came down to a little kiosk. I think I was 11 years old. And as I came up to that kiosk, there was this Finnish guy standing with an old accordion. And he was a little drunk. We knew him. He was always playing for money. And he had his box to the accordion open. People threw coins in there and he played. And this morning he was singing old spiritual hymns. Some of you are extremely familiar with it because you grew up in church, right? I didn't. So I just heard a song about angels and roses that never fades, and, you know, poetic language about Jesus on a white throne. And it was old. I don't know the names of them. But I still remember that I stopped in my tracks and I forgot to buy the cigarettes, because there was something coming through these old songs that touched my body. And it was tangible. I could feel it. And I was 11 years old and hungry for something spiritual that I had no idea existed, but I was created for. There was an empty void in me that cried out for what Adam and Eve once had had, right? Before they lost the glory. And I stood there, and I still remember tears started flowing down my face. And I thought it was such a beautiful music. So this was magic. Still remember, I told my mom afterwards, because it took me 2 hours to get the cigarettes. And it was just 50 yards outside of the apartment. But I stood there for 2 hours listening to this man playing his accordion and singing spiritual songs. And that was my first encounter. I could never forget it. There was something that lived in those songs. I don't know if that man was a Christian. But I know that those people that wrote those songs, they had been in touch with God. And they had been inspired by the Holy Spirit. So something lived within those lines, in those songs. And it touched me. And I told my mama, and my mama was, she had grown up in a believer's home. So when I told mama, it was magic. They were singing about roses and angels, and she hit me on the head, I remember. And I could never, ever forget it. I wanted so much this warm, beautiful thing. And I looked for places where I could sense the same thing. My granddad, he was a Christian. He was a believer. And when we visited his house, I will remember I would hear him pray early, early in the morning. And I would sneak up to the door. And I would listen to the door. And when he realized I was outside, he would stop. And he would say, "You can come in, son." It's an old, old man. But I still remember sitting on the top of his bed in that room was the same atmosphere that came out of that accordion that was in that song. It was a mystery to me as I grew up. But I was created for this. And why do I talk about this? You know, it is like that dove, you know. He lands and he lifts. And he lands and he lifts. And I always knew that I scare him away somehow. I can't get this beautiful thing to stay with me. And when I was 16 years old, I was going in that school bus to the high school. And there was this girl that sang in the church choir. You know, we have very few Christians where I come from. Like in one class, there can be one or two. And this girl sang in the church choir. She was a girl out of my league. How many of you know what I'm saying? I had a crush on her, but I just knew impossible. I was the loser kid from the ghetto. And she was the beautiful church girl. But for some strange reasons, she always saved a seat for me. And I've never, ever understood why. Because I was mean to her. Yes, I would walk up to her, always make jokes about her. "Good morning, virgin. You know, how are you today?" That was the normal deal. And I would comment something stupid. Can I just, America, youth are youth, right? I'd say something about tits or something about this or something about that. Hello, people. Hello. You just walk up. And she would, I always remember when I started like that, she would she would put her hair behind her ear like this and lift up her little finger and start to preach to me. I said to my brother, my older brother, she's so sexy when she does that. I mean, it's amazing when she does that. Oh, you should see her. And she was burning with something. But the strange thing, I didn't come to make jokes, okay? Even though it's fun to relax together, right? But there was something coming out of her when she preached. Something came out of her, radiated out of her, jumped out of her, and I could feel it on my skin. And the more she preached, and when she preached about Jesus, oh, I loved it. I didn't want her to stop. Just continue. So that you know that those boys in the school bus, girls, are you hearing me? That are trying to provoke you. They want to hear you preach Jesus, okay? Preach Jesus to them. So I sat there. And then when I was leaving the bus, I would go behind the high school. I still remember, lit the cigarette and just stand there. And I just wanted this atmosphere to stay with me. Desperate. May it not lift. But it lifted like the smoke. It lifted with my cigarette. It lifted with the smoke. It vanished. It didn't stay permanently. And this was my thing, you see. I wanted this beautiful atmosphere. I was hungry for something abstract that I didn't know what it was. The dove landed and the dove lifted. The dove came and visited me and lifted again. The dove knocked on my door, so to speak. He was there. Then I made stronger experiences until I invited him in, and I will come there. But there was this song too. Oh, I don't want to stress this. Can I just tell you, if I don't go through these 7 points, that's okay, right? Huh? Was this song? My older brother taught me a song. One of these two-liners, you know what I'm saying? One of those silly two-liners. I mean, it's only Christian people that can make such lousy songs, you know? Two-liners. For eternity, on repeat, you know what I'm saying? But they stuck. And I remember this song. My brother said, if you sing it, you will not be afraid. And I was 16, 17, and I would sing it like a feel-good mantra. Non-Christian. If a girlfriend had broken up with me, I would lock myself into a toilet somewhere and sing the song. And I would even do like my brother, because my brother had become a believer. I would do just like him, hold my hands like this and sing the song, and then I would feel it. Drunk as drunk can be, somewhere alone, had been beaten up, I would sing this song as a Hindu mantra to feel good. Are you getting this? Some of you taking for granted what you grew up in. Huh? Oh, I can tell you. Oh, I visited this friend's home. His parents were Christians. Oh, I just wanted to sit in that kitchen. I didn't want to leave that kitchen. Oh, how I wanted this. Then I had stronger and stronger experiences. And you know, the second picture I want to take today is the wind. The wind. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we read that suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And this is the day when the church was born, when the Holy Spirit came to dwell with them and be with them. And this is the first baptism in the Holy Spirit described. And I'll come back to what that means and what the difference is between that and the salvation. But friends, a stronger experience, the wind. I tried to commit suicide. I don't know, 16, 17, I tried a couple of times. And then I would have this stronger experience. One time in the middle of this stuff that was going on when I tried to take my life, I could hear a voice somewhere say that I love you and I'll give you a message. And it was like a wind that blew through the area. I still remember there was just a presence there. And I knew God existed. I just knew God existed. But I would scream out, leave me alone. If it is you, God, just leave me alone. And I would stand at a railway station down in Germany, I remember, with terrible hangover. And I would look out over the tracks and the people. And I would feel that wind blow through my life. Someone was whispering in that wind. One day you will have a message. One day you will be a messenger. I would say, hey, if this is you, God, I don't fit in your picture. The wind. The wind is a stronger experience. And, oh, I could tell you when I went to the unreached people groups the first time, when I went out to an African tribe the first time, and in the middle of me preaching, the Holy Spirit said, stop. And I stopped. Don't do anything. And a wind came. A wind came from behind, and I thought it was just a breeze, you know, natural. But when it touched my clothes, I was filled with something. And then I saw the people in front of me started crying, bawling. And then they started falling to the ground and shaking. And the manifestations of the Holy Spirit started. The wind started blowing. And the wind can blow into a non-Christian's life. The wind can blow through a Muslim's life. The wind can come with a dream or a revelation or a voice that speaks. But it's still just a knocking. Still just God seeking. It is not until we talk about the water, the third picture, that we talk about salvation. Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, right, that we have to be born again by water and spirit. And we talk about baptism and we talk about the Holy Spirit. But we also know John's Gospel, chapter 4, says that there is living water, right? He offers living water. And he says in the 7th chapter that we will have that well on the inside. Woo. And I remember the night when I prayed my salvation prayer. Now I'm going to cry because I can never testify about my salvation without crying. Someone explained the gospel to me. Don't you take it for granted. Someone explained the gospel to me so that I could understand it for the first time in my life. When he had explained the gospel, he said, is it okay if I pray? I didn't know what to say, so I said, it's cool if you pray. And I thought he was going to do, you know, an Ave Maria or a Pater Noster or something like that. But he was a wild man. He stood up and he walked back and forth and he screamed in tongues. And I was thinking, wow, he's serious. I said to myself, this guy has black belt in spirituality. Wow, he's serious about what he does. But I was not afraid because I you know, with non-Christian background, you're not. I just thought he was cool. He stood for something. He was himself. And he prayed. And when he prayed, the atmosphere came back. And then I thought, I better go now before I start to cry. So I was about to sneak out the door. And then he attacked me. He put his hands upon my shoulders and he pressed me down. And he said, say Jesus and everything is going to be all right. And I exploded. And I won't say what I said. You, da-da-da-di-di-di-da. Get your hands off of me. And he was big. He trained boxing and stuff. He had arms like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. Well, I'm exaggerating, I know. But he was big and he held me. And he said, I will not let you go until you pray to Jesus. And until you ask for forgiveness. And then I exploded again. I've not done anything wrong. What shall I ask for forgiveness for? I'm a victim. The world should ask me for forgiveness.
You see how full of pride and stuff you can be, huh? But he held me. Thank God there are different kind of evangelists, isn't it? Different kind of gifts. Because he held me until I prayed. And I thought I better pray something so that I can go home. So I did the Santa Claus list, you know. God help mama. And, you know, this and that. And then he said, are you done? Yeah, amen. And then and I laughed at him. I thought it was so cool. I said, amen. And then he said, could you pray now? What do you mean? Say you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. And then we were there again. Well, what's the matter with you? Finally, I said it. I said, Jesus on the cross. Can't even repeat this. And if I tell you my first prayer, some of you would judge me bad. But I'll do it anyhow. I said, Jesus, take care of this shit, will you? Yeah? And you know, that was the most honest prayer I've ever prayed in my entire life. Yeah. And let me say this now. I think God rather has an honest cussing than a hypocritical hallelujah. So I said, take care of this. And yeah. And when I did, he said, you are on track, but say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. And then I did. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And something just happened. Water. I could hear it. Warm, hot water flowed into my chest. It was like a pipeline. Or like the angels had made a long line with buckets of water. Can you see them? Give this boy another bucket. Every time I received it, I was overwhelmed. Jesus, forgive me. Help me. And water. Water. I was born again. Born again. I tasted the living water for the first time in my life. Oh. I forgot the guy. I just prayed. I cussed and I prayed and I shouted and I prayed. And he said, it's getting to you. You're getting hold of it. And he left the room. And he locked the church. Went home and left me in it. That's what we call 100% follow-up. Locked the just saved in so that he can never go back to sin. But I was sitting there for 2 hours saying, Jesus, Jesus, take care of this crap. I won't say the S word again because I know it's a provocation to you here. No, I know, America, this is a bad word. But where I come from, it was the most bad, the least bad word of the bad words. So I said it again and again. Jesus, Jesus, take care of me. And when I went that, when I had to open up the church door with a screwdriver, by the way. I'd open up doors like that before. So. And I walked home that night floating. I was born again by water. Have I preached too long? Can I? How many of you would give me another 10 or 15 minutes or so? Can I? Huh? I really want to share this with you. So when Jesus speaks about water, I know something about it because that was the breakthrough. I tasted the living water. No one needed to tell me to come back to church. Ah, I was not there for the pool table or for the cool lights. And by the way, that's just spoiled third, fourth generation Christians that are going to church for that stuff. They got better pool tables in other places. Are you here? So I came for something else. I came for the living water. I didn't care who preached and what they said. I was drinking. I still remember sometimes I didn't understand a thing, but I was drinking. I was so happy I was in church. I could drink. I'd come to the well. Oh, my friends. Then fire came. This is my picture number four. Book of Acts chapter 2 says that after the wind had come, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated. And I had this experience that we call baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell more about it as we go tomorrow and the other night. But this is a different thing. Now fire comes and cleanses. You know, they purified things by letting it go through fire. You can burn out a wound with fire, isn't it? Fire cleanses. Fire exposes. Fire comes with light. Oh, my goodness, when that fire came, that's when it really started. That was my rehab. That is when I could resist the devil. That is where I could overcome temptations. That is where I started to be healed, cleansed. I couldn't lie when the fire came. I was a good liar once. Oh, my God, I could lie, friends. I learned to lie at the age of 3, 4. And then I lied my way through life. But when the fire came, I couldn't lie anymore. I felt so crippled in the beginning. How do you live without lying? But I couldn't lie. I had to go back and confess. I lied about my age at a certain place to get more salary. Had to go back to the boss and tell him it's not true. I couldn't lie. Things that I was fighting just disappeared when the fire came. Oh, the fire. I need to speak more about that another night. But the fifth picture I want to take with all of you is the cloud. Exodus chapter 16. And we have it in Exodus chapter 40. You know, when the people of Israel were walking through the desert on the way to the promised land, they were led by a pillar, a cloud. And when they made the tabernacle, where Moses put in all this beautiful stuff that he had made for God, and where they worshipped God and listened to God, that tabernacle was overshadowed and just filled with a cloud. And more than anything else, the Holy Spirit to me is the permanent presence of God that I've come to rest upon my life. He doesn't lift. He's not a homeless person that goes from shelter to shelter. Are you getting it? He stays. He hovers. Is that an English word? He stays. Hovers. He's there. He sits on my life like a cloud, follows me, and I follow that cloud, and I want to be there. He's upon my house, my family, my children, my wife. He sits, the cloud, the glory. I can't speak about it really, because then I'm so touched again. I enter a hotel room and I ask, Holy Spirit, sit in this room. And the cloud fills the room. The presence is there. I wake up in the night, I feel the fear, and I just lift up my hands and I say, fill this room like you fill the tabernacle in the desert. Wherever I go, I bring this cloud. Wherever I speak, I bring this cloud. When I'm with the Muslims, they sense the cloud. When I'm with the atheist, they don't know what it is, but it's something. One said, I like you. Okay. No, you don't get it. I really, really like you. Okay. He was a foreign minister in Tanzania, Africa.
He said, we need to get together. We need to meet. We need to spend time. Because I really, really, really do like you. Okay. And he went into his car. And as he took off, the Holy Spirit whispered to me. And you know what he said? It's not you that he likes. No, it's someone else. The cloud. The sixth picture, the oil. Now it gets very, very personal and comes very close. Because now it's about ministry and about doing ministry and doing things for God. Stepping into his presence to receive, but also go out of his presence into the devil's territory, carrying something. I will speak more about this later on, but you know in the Old Testament, they anointed people with oil. And they anointed stuff. Yeah, they put oil upon the lampstand in the tabernacle and so on. And the oil was a picture that now the Holy Spirit would be rubbed in to what was going to be used for God. It's a very deep meaning to this, actually, because flesh cannot come in contact with God. So there needs to be something in between. But when the oil is rubbed in, it becomes one with us. How many of you have taken an oil and rubbed it into your skin? You know, after a while, the oil is not there anymore. But your skin is softer. Your skin, is actually stronger. And it's the same with the oil. It's being rubbed into us. And when we are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we soak like sponges. I don't know if I can say this. We take it in. We and we become. And after a while, it's there in us. So what we touch, what we wear, carries it. And everything we become it, even in our bad days, huh? Even when we are not having a good day, we are anointed. Can you imagine that? Someone angry can still be anointed. Someone that loses it can still be anointed. Because God has rubbed it in. It's there. I always say, you know how many of you have been in a room with people that smokes, and then afterwards the smoke sits in your clothes? When you are in the presence of God, the presence of God will sit in you after a while. It'll sit there. The seventh picture that I want to take today, you know, I could read here about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just a lot to said about. There's a lot to be said about this. I should continue. I should, but then I will probably go off and speak very long. Because, we were called Christians. Right? Christ in Greek is, it's Messiah in Hebrew. It's the anointed one, the painted one. And Christians, it's someone who had the same anointing as Jesus. The little Jesus. The Christian. The Christ-like. You'll be painted with the same oil as God painted Jesus with. And you will radiate Jesus. And walking with the Holy Spirit is all about becoming Christ-like, becoming anointed like Christ, and carrying the Holy Spirit like Christ was carrying it. They called them Christians, anointed people, just like Jesus was anointed. Oh, I never forget the first time when a demon manifested. I had a guitar. I was a punk rocker once. And I wrote a punk song about my salvation. And I brought out the guitar outside of a nightclub. And I didn't sing it. I screamed it,
Screamo. I screamed it. When I screamed, you know about this song. I screamed this song. When I screamed this song, there was someone else started screaming. Head banging. I thought, am I that good? And then I saw her eyes had rolled back. And I understood, this is not a fan. And I realized there was a demon manifesting. And I was in shock. And it happened again and again when I did stuff for Jesus. Why? Because he was now sitting in my skin. Yeah, it was upon the tongue, upon the lips, the oil, the anointing. Number 7, the counselor, the one that gives advice and helps and coaches. John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 26. Yeah, he will testify about me. I feel something now, that's why I react. It's the same all the time when I teach about the Holy Spirit. He reminds us of Jesus. When we're depressed, when we don't want to live, we want to bail out. Have you been there? Sat at an airport a couple of years ago. I don't want to be a husband. I don't want to be a father. I don't want to be a pastor. Let me take the next plane, open up a bar in Thailand. I'm just sitting there crying. And then the advocate comes. He's already here. And he starts to whisper. You could do that, but what would you feel 3 weeks from now? 2 months from now? And he starts to talk with me. And then it reminds me. Bible verses started to float up. And this Jesus said, and this Jesus said. And I was talking to him and he was talking to me. And he persuaded me to get on the plane I was booked on and fly home. And be a dad. And be a husband. And be a pastor. And continue and finish my race. The advocate, the counselor that stays at my side and intimately guides me to do the right stuff. Don't do it, Johannes. You're too tired now. No, 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 no. Don't get up on the internet now. You're too tired. Please, Johannes, stay in your hotel room. You're too tired. Are you here? The counselor. The advocate. And he helps us. All right. This was my introduction to the Holy Spirit. Let's stand up on our feet.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.